So good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here with you today. We've had a lovely break away as a family, and we're really pleased to be back here this Sunday. So it's great to share this service with you. And today we're continuing with our Best of Friends series. I hope you've been enjoying it. I obviously prepared the material and I read the book that goes with it. And I'm really pleased to be talking about another aspect of friendship today, because friendship is precious, isn't it? And it's a gift that God has given to us as human beings, that we can be friends, we can receive friendship, and we can give friendship as well. So far I'm thinking that you thought a little bit about this God-given gift of friendship and how it enriches our lives. I think Tim was speaking about that the first Sunday. And then I think small groups, you spent a bit of time thinking about some of the challenges of sustaining friendship and what that looks like as believers. And then I think Chris was tasked, I don't know if he did it yet, I'll have to listen to the sermon, but to talk about how we can have, or God brings to us some people that are particularly close, close friends, just as Jesus had, that we can share the deep parts of our lives with and be accountable to. So I'm going to talk about another layer of friendship today. I'm going to talk about the fact that we have the gift of wider circles of friends and networks of friends. And that's particularly true when you're part of the church family. We've got this amazing gift or resource of the church, which is there for us to build friendships. Not just here, and we'll talk about the fact that we've got this lovely network of friends here, our own fellowship. But isn't it wonderful that that means that we can be connected across the country and across the world with other Christians? So we're going to be thinking a bit about that today. Because Jesus had a wide circle of friends. I don't know if you've ever really thought about this when you've read some of the Gospels, but it's right there as you read through some of the stories. And what I did as I was preparing, I took one of the Gospels and I read through. Sometimes it's just a little sentence at the beginning of Jesus telling a story or moving on to another place. But if you look carefully, you discover that he knew and had friends, friendships with lots of people. So, who am I thinking about? Well, think about, for instance, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, very good friends of Jesus that he spent time with. And as you read some of the stories when he was speaking to them, you hear that they were friends that loved and cared and knew a lot about each other and were also very open at very difficult points in their life. So there's Martha, Mary and Lazarus. And then there was a whole group of women disciples who supported and travelled with Jesus. And they're quite interesting because they financially supported Jesus' ministry. It's interesting, isn't it, when you look at that part, particularly in the culture of the day, what that meant. And they were there right to the end of when Jesus died and at his resurrection. Some of his closer friends struggled with that point in Jesus' life. And we know that that they abandoned Jesus at the point when probably he needed his friends, his close friends, the most. And yet there was a group of women and his friend John that were there with him right at the end when he died. And there again when the resurrection story, we heard all about that at Easter as well. Another group of network of friends that Jesus had, do you remember the 72? The story of the 72. So in Luke 10, it tells us that Jesus sent out, earlier he'd sent out his close group of friends, the disciples, to go and have a go, a bit like apprentices. And then he sent out 72 people to go out in ministry and to start taking the kingdom of God into the surrounding area. And I think these were probably friends because they were close to Jesus, they'd learnt from him. And also we hear that they came back to Jesus and they returned with joy and they shared all their experiences with Jesus. Isn't that a lovely story of ministering and coming back and sharing their lives, their experiences, the things they got right, the things they got wrong with Jesus? And then there's a kind of another network of friends that I started to think about as well, because as you read Jesus' story, as he's out and about, this itinerant ministry that he had, moving around, we discover that he gets a bit of a reputation for going to parties, don't we? And often at those parties, they're not the kind of people that Jesus is expected to mix with. They're kind of like those on the edge of society. We know they're tax collectors that were really not liked very much at all. They were prostitutes. They were people who a rabbi wasn't really expected to mix with, and yet he went to their homes and he had meals with them. So that's one end of the spectrum. And then we hear at the point of Jesus' death that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea step up and they take a lot of risk and they ensure that Jesus receives a worthy burial. And they were at the other end of the spectrum. They were men that had huge influence. They were involved in the religious and political groups that made decisions. So we can see that Jesus knew a wide range of people from all different parts of society. And he seemed to have this amazing ability to build friendships with lots of different people. He comes over, doesn't he? As I read the Gospels again, I think, wasn't he an attractive person? You know, I'd like to have been Jesus' friend. There's something really compelling about him. He was interested in others, and he sought out authentic friendship with them. He was open very often in his friendships. He also encouraged people to be themselves. He had emotional friendships with people and he spent time with them. He knew them well and they in turn cared for him and they shared life with Jesus and they went out of their way to help him. So we have this lovely picture of Jesus as a good friend to a very close group of, particularly some three men around him that were his very close friends, but then a wide range of network of friendships that he sustained and that were blessed by knowing Jesus. So I was going to pop up this quote as I was preparing. This is one that's come from the resource, which is from the Evangelical Alliance. This is where the series is from. And I particularly liked this quote about friendships. These are the types of friends I hope I have, and I hope I'm a friend like this. Those who speak hope and affirmation into our lives. Those who call out the best in us, who breathe life into our weary souls. Isn't that a lovely phrase? Who fire our aching hearts, who kind of like encourage us along the way, and also steel our fragile frames, who cheer us on and cheer us up. Isn't that a lovely quote about friendship? And it made me think about, I wonder if I'm that type of friend to my friends around me. We can only sustain those very deep, vulnerable, close friendships with a few people, but we can be blessed with a wide circle of those who we can share life with, who we can laugh with, who we can receive and offer help and encouragement. And I think a good judge of this is, I was just thinking about my friendships. You know, when you maybe have known someone for a long time and you haven't seen them maybe for several years, and yet when you meet them, it feels like the time was never, that you're apart and had never been there, that you're able to immediately start up in a connection and a conversation and feel comfortable with someone. I wonder if you're thinking of anyone in your head at the moment that you've got that kind of level of friendship, that it doesn't matter if you don't see each other. I've got a friend that lives in Japan that I went to school with, and I don't see her for quite a few years. Sometimes we, you know, WhatsApp and correspond, but when we see each other, it's like the 2 years are just like that we've been apart weren't there really. We just connect immediately. And those sorts of friendships are really precious to us. This is what Proverbs tells us about friendship. These types of friends, this wider network of friends that we're talking about, they love through all kinds of weather. Whether it's raining in our lives, whether we're happy, whether we've done something awful, whether we've done something good. They're there for us, offering us friendship. Doesn't mean that we can't be challenged sometimes by our friends who know us well, but they're there for us and they love us. And don't we all need friends like that? Yeah. I certainly do. I certainly do. People who bring encouragement and companionship, who know us and do life with us. One of the interesting things about exploring friendship is that it just seems that God has created us as human beings to have this amazing capacity. It's like part of the way that we're created to have friendships. And interestingly, some secular sociologists and psychologists have had a little look at this, and I was quite intrigued by this when I was doing the preparation for today. So let's have a look at this Dunbar's numbers. Anyone heard about this before? Yeah? Oh, a few people are nodding. Okay, so Dunbar is a social sociologist, and he's done quite a lot of research around friends. And according to him, there's this magic number. I'm not sure if it's quite dead on 150, but he suggests that 150 people, this wider network of people, is about the maximum number of meaningful contacts that we can, an average person, can retain or hold at any one point. It's all part of this, there's a whole sort of thinking around the social brain hypothesis, if you're interested and want to find out a little bit more. But this whole idea that as human beings, we are social beings, and Christians would say that we are created that way to connect with other people, that we're not created to be on our own and isolated, but that we are created to need and also to give to others, that is part of who we are. So it got me thinking. I was wondering about my network, whether I've got about 150 people. When you start, you think, oh no. But as you begin to think about it, it begins to grow. It's interesting. And then I started to think about it as a church. Do you reckon we've got 150 people that we sustain? I think we probably have, haven't we? If we start to think about it, we've got our own church, immediate church family here. But then when you start to add on our community friends, that we have, that we connect with. And then we've got people that we're connected with nationally. I'm hoping that some of you are starting to think about some of these people as I'm talking about them. And then we have this wonderful global network, don't we, of friendships that we have. That's a real privilege that would all connect back into Sea Green Baptist Church. And I suspect that we could probably go higher, actually, than 150 people that we know, that we have a regular network, that we are contact, that we feel part of something that's going on here. Another interesting thing that's come out from some of this research, which I found quite challenging, apparently Rhodes and Stanley, they did some research around, this is an interesting one, the number of guests that couples invited to their wedding. It's quite interesting. And apparently, those that have around 150, they're I'm sure there's people that buck the trend for this, but they're more likely to form stronger and longer marriages. Isn't that interesting? And what does that say about the value, importance of not being isolated in your relationships? And even in our Western countries, we have very sort of a lot of emphasis, don't we, on the nuclear small family. But I think the Bible definitely points us to having much wider connections with people that we do through church and through friendship networks that we have. That is actually really valuable and important, and it's something we should try and grow and nurture and seek, because it's actually really healthy for us. One of the other things that I started to think about as well when I was thinking about my 150 was how many of those people are not connected to the church. Because that's quite an important question for us, isn't it? If we're a missional, if we feel really sort of committed to being a missional church and sharing the good news of Jesus, to be able to do that, we need to have friendships with people that don't know Jesus. That's part of the sharing. It's not that we try and form those friendships to convert people. That's not what I'm saying at all, because friendships should be friendships for themselves and the people that we build friendships with. But there is a sense that if we don't know people outside of our family here, then we haven't really got anyone that we can share the good news with and our life experiences of meeting Jesus. And interestingly, the Evangelical Alliance did some research a couple of years ago looking at the state of the British church. And one of the real challenges that they came back with was that a lot of Christians don't have a lot of non-Christian friends. So how can we even think that the church might grow if we're not building friendships, investing in a wide range of friendships, those that are believers, but also those that are not yet Christians as well, that is important for us. And I found that quite challenging when I was thinking about this idea of my network and what that might look like. I think it also challenges us to think about what it's like to come into our community as we build friendships and we have this wider network. How welcome do people feel as they come into our Sunday service, for example, into coffee shop on Monday, or to baby group, or lots of the other activities that we do? It's quite interesting to have the experience of going as a stranger into a service. I don't know if any of you have done that recently, maybe if you visited another church. We did that when we were on holiday. We went to two very different churches, one very small, lovely little congregation in a village that was in a little wooden church that was smaller than us. And then we went to one big mega church when we were in Sydney as well. And it was quite interesting just experiencing what it was like to go in and not be known. And both churches, in different ways, gave us a great welcome. And it was a really good thing to experience. Bigger churches have more challenges with this. And again, if any of you have done anything around church growth, there's a lot of discussion around whether you, when you get to the size of 150, interestingly, that you have to think about whether you then grow another church, because or you split, or you have to start thinking about different strategies to help people feel welcome, because it's harder to do the bigger you get. So one of the blessings that we have here, we're a slightly smaller church, and so we can show the way, can't we, in welcoming and making people feel part of our community and belonging, a sense of belonging when they come to us. So it's important to think about these things when we're thinking about wider friendship networks and what it means for us as believers here in this place. I'm just going to give you a second or two. I'm just going to invite you to just turn to someone next to you and just very quickly have a think about this question, and then we'll see if we can get a little bit of feedback. And then in a minute, I'm going to pass across to Lydia. So I just want you to ask the person next to you or two people next to you, how do we strengthen here? How do we strengthen in our own church, but also our wider networks with our friends at the community, our neighbours? How do we strengthen and sustain friendships as believers? So thinking about what it means, that particular element of being a Christian and trying to build and invest into these wider networks of friendships. So just a few moments, turn and have a quick chat. Won't be very long. And then I'll ask a few people to shout a few things out and we'll see what we can find. So we want top tips to how we sustain and build networks of friendships as believers. Hopefully we've got a few ideas about how we as believers sustain this gift of having networks of friends. Do people want to call out a few things and I'll say them back through the microphone so we can hear it?
Jill said something very striking to me the other week.
Yeah.
She said, I've worshipped in this church for a very long time, but I don't know you.
Okay, so that's quite a challenge then, isn't it? So that's something we can all think about how well do we actually know each other? Yeah, absolutely. That is quite a challenge to this, isn't it, if we're going to try and sustain. So how do we go about knowing one another then? Might be another way of saying it. Any quick ideas that we'll fire out quickly?
Just taking an interest in
people. Yeah, absolutely. Being intrigued, taking an interest in people. Talk to people. Yeah, thank you, Colin. Yeah. Listen.
Trust and confidentiality.
Yeah, trust. And also being trusted with people's information and what they share with you. Absolutely. Yeah, so something about being a bit self-sacrificial about making the effort and the time to invest, absolutely.
That goes with availability, being available.
Yeah.
People need to talk.
So availability, yeah. So being available. Any other thoughts?
Sharing the highs and the lows,
yeah. So it's a bit like that verse from Proverbs, isn't it, about friends love through all kinds of weather. Yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts?
Hospitality,
yeah. That's a fantastic biblical principle, isn't it? And Jesus was often found, wasn't he, eating in people's homes. I think that was one of the important ways that he sustained and grew his friendships, yeah. And he spent a lot of time, he invested in people, didn't he? Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Non-judgmental grace.
Non-judgmental grace, yeah. That can be hard sometimes, can't it, for us? Yeah. Jan, did you want to say that?
Yes. I've just given up driving, and I'm amazed how many people have offered me lifts.
Yeah, so there's a sort of generosity
I
there.
Really have, and
yeah.
Sometimes backtrack come to me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's lovely.
Yeah. So it's a sort of generosity of heart, really, there, isn't
it?
Yes. I'll give you a few of mine. Praying together, I think, can make a real difference to friendship. Certainly makes a difference to marriage, and I think it does to friendship as well. I've mentioned serving, which I think probably does pick up on some of the... But actually doing a task and working on something together helps to build and cement friendship, doesn't it? Singing together, I put. So I think worship is a really important element as believers of us, of being together in community. Sharing communion, another important part of what we do, and I'm going to talk a bit more about that as we move into our communion later. Another thought, planning together. We do that as Baptists, don't we, in our church meeting, but the idea of having a shared vision and of owning decisions, I think that's another thing that we do. Investing in resources together, which I think probably Jan's touched on that a little bit, but we do this a bit more formally, don't we, by our finances and giving to the church and sharing together. That cements us. And then the last one I picked up was laughing together. I think laughing's really important, isn't it? And that can really be a bonding way of getting. So that was a few of my ideas, as well as some of the things that you've mentioned as well. Okay, so just thinking about our networks, we're going to now sort of think a bit more about some of our national and global connections that we have. Something that takes us beyond our immediate network friendships here, and as we do church together nationally, and also our wider connection globally as well. When I was preparing the verse, particularly for this week's session, in the material, was that lovely one from Revelations, which we'll put up. And isn't it a fantastic verse? I've been thinking about this all week, actually. I did some training this week for my accreditation, my NAMS accreditation, and we were looking at intercultural worship and doing intercultural church, and it was just fantastic just talking about that. A really mixed group of other ministers that I was training with, talking about what this really looks like in practical terms. And at the end of time, we're going to be there together, aren't we, with all this amazing... I can't get my head around it, really. I was just saying to Hilary what it's going to be like at the end of time when we are part of that multitude. People from all nations, all tribes, all people, all languages. There'll be people from past generations, future generations. We're all going to be there, and it's going to be an amazing moment in history as we worship God as his people before him. And that's just really that picture in Revelation. It's just a bit of a flavour of what we're called to do in church here as we try to work towards that wonderful vision of what the end is going to be like. And I think the privilege of that network of being connected with people nationally and internationally, I think it's amazing. It's great to see so many of you here that are connected in with different parts of the world. I know when I was in my NHS role, one of the things that people just couldn't quite get their head around was that I knew people across the country through my Christian connections, but also that I knew people in, I mentioned Japan, Uganda, Peru. I can go on, but many of you can list different parts of the UK, and also of the world, where we have friendships with people. And it is a huge privilege that being part of church opens up to us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass across to Lydia now. Many of you will know, most of you know that Lydia's my daughter, Alistair's my daughter. It's been great for us, and also sharing this with you, that Lydia's been
doing her own kind of global networking and connecting with the Christian church and community in different parts of the world. So I thought it would be an opportunity. I know lots of people said they want to find out what she's been up to. So I'm going to pass across to you, Lydia, just to share a little bit. Tell us what you've been up to over the last few months.
Hello, everyone. Like my mum said, I've been away and I've just got back from my training. A lot of you prayed for me and sponsored me during that time, so I just want to thank you for that. That does really mean a lot. So I'm just going to explain what I was doing. So we go on to the next slide. So I was away for 5 months, and 3 of those months started off in Orlando at the YWAM base there, which, if you don't know, YWAM is Youth with a Mission, which specialises in empowering young people to go and spread the gospel. So for 3 months, I was training. We did loads of topics each week, different ones. So I heard teaching on how to hear God's voice, a general overview of the Bible, context of the Old Testament, and also teaching on the Holy Spirit and what that is. So there was lots of people in my class. You can see the picture on the side there. There was 50 of us in my class. There's people from all over the world, all over America mainly, but there's people from Australia and Sweden and also Brazil. And this was a really great thing to be able to experience, because having such a mix of people meant that I was able to understand different cultures and different churches, but from a real personal point of view. So we were all there for the same reason, and we all also wanted all the same thing. We were there to, first of all, know God, and then to make him known, which is one of the values of YWAM. So after those 3 months training, which was a really great time, I was there for Christmas and also for Thanksgiving. So it was a real family feel environment. The community is really special. It really understands that connection of hospitality and just sharing in friendship with each other. So that was really great. And then after those 3 months, I went to Haiti, as many of you know. So you'll see there on the side, the family there. So that's Tyler and Vanessa Emery, and their 3 boys. So they have Isaiah, Malachi, and Elijah. So they're based in the south of Haiti in a place called Lakai, which is where my team went. They started their ministry in thinking about wanting to start a base in Haiti in April 2013, but it wasn't until June 2017 when they actually bought the land and started to build. So you'll see there, the picture on the side is them starting to build the campus. And the vision for their base is they want to empower Haitians to go to the nations. So they want to really empower the young people and the adults there to help provide for their families and also learn skills to provide for their families, but then also to build their faith and also to disciple them as well. So one of the things that they do in the base is they have an electrician school, so they will teach young men how to be electricians, they'll take their exams, and then they're able to get electrician jobs and provide for their families. So on to the next slide. We were able to get involved with a lot of the ministries that Tyler and Vanessa had already established. So some of them involved a boys and a girls Bible study group. They did this on base, but they also go to a local orphanage as well, and they also do weekly Bible studies there, which was really great to get involved in. There's also lots of opportunities for sport ministry there as well. So during the weekends, we'd have a football tournament, and lots of the local villages have their own football teams, and they will come to the campus. It's a very safe and welcoming environment for them to play. And then at halftime, one of us would give a gospel presentation, and it would just give an opportunity for people to hear the gospel, but also we were available to pray for people and to have spiritual conversations. And we had a lot of great spiritual conversations with people there just coming to play sport. The campus itself is just a really welcoming and safe environment. So you'd often have children turning up every day just to play football and volleyball and basketball. So it was a really great way to bring people into the onto the base that you can then just have fun with and just support and have great conversations with. We also got involved in farming as well. Farming is one of Tyler's initiatives as well. Sometimes the land in Haiti is often just over-farmed and it's not farmed properly. So he's really taking initiative to farm properly and also teach these skills to local men as well. You'll see in the corner there, that's me in the river, in the local river. Unfortunately, the river there has cholera, so it's quite dirty. So Tyler is using a project to clean the river, because a lot of the locals will use that river to clean their clothes and drink from. So we got involved with that, which was a good project to get involved in as well. Onto the next slide, I think. As I said, we went to a local orphanage and we were able to also run a Sunday school for them, which they've never had before, and the kids absolutely loved it, because if they didn't have that Sunday school, they'd be sitting in the main service. So we were able to, do lots of dramas and games with them, and they had a really great time, and there's some more farming pictures there as well. So that was what I got up to. There was loads of we were just very busy all the time, lots of things to do. And Tyler and Vanessa's ministry, it's challenging. Haiti is a very challenging country to be in and minister in, but it's really rewarding for them. So just thinking about being part of a global network of Christians, I just found it very encouraging to be a part of them, actually see how other Christians around the world are encouraging others and reaching out to others to sort of start a faith. And it was encouraging for Tyler and Vanessa as well, for us to be there and to give them physical support, but also just to see that other people are interested and wanting to help them in their ministry as well, and the vision that God had given them. So sometimes it's quite hard to feel connected to other Christians around the world, because we can't physically experience or see what they're experiencing. And difference in cultures and languages can also make it hard to understand one another. I know I found that initially when I got to Haiti, that obviously there is a culture difference and there is a language barrier, and sometimes that can be hard to connect with people. But ultimately, being a Christian and being in the body of Christ means we're all one family anyway, so we're already connected, which is just great. And, you know, cultures and differences aside, as Christians, we're all working together for the same aim of wanting more people to come and know Jesus. But when we connect with other Christians, it's really great globally as well. We can actually see the bigger picture of what God is doing around the world, not just in the UK and in this village, but we can see the bigger picture, and it's just really encouraging and, yeah, really great to see. So even if we can't physically be there to help and encourage others, like we were talking about earlier, praying is a really great way to feel connected with other people and to support them. So just a little bit about what I'm planning on doing next. So I have decided that I'd like to do some more training with YWAM Orlando. So that would mean me going back in about 2 months' time, which is quite soon. But the course that I'm interested in studying is called Word by Heart. What that involves is studying scripture, sometimes the Gospels, and learning and kind of experiencing the Bible in a very profound and personal way, that you learn how to think about the Bible as if it was your personal testimony, and kind of you get given skills on how to tell the Bible and to speak the Bible to people in a way that sort of brings it to life and gives it the life that it deserves. And not only is this a really great tool to talk to people and to share stories and to communicate, but it's also being used as a way to translate the Bible. So around the world, YWAM bases have got a project called Oral Mother Tongue, which enables the Bible to be translated into languages that don't have a written language. It's only spoken orally. So what you'll do is you'll go into a village with a group of people, and you'll teach the person who is translating how to speak the Bible in a way that brings life and is really exciting for people to listen to. It's then audio recorded and then shared in villages and among groups of people, and they can listen to it in their own language, which I think is really, really important. That's how you really understand the Bible for yourself. And then people actually want to listen to it. It's not boring. It's really exciting, as it should be. And, yeah, it's just a really great tool to to communicate the Bible to people. So that would mean going back in end of June, July time. I'm probably looking for people to sponsor me and to pray for me and just to be a great support like you already have been. But I don't know how God is going to use this, but I'm really excited to see how God is going to use it and how he's going to use me. And I really feel like ministry is what he's leading me into. So that's really exciting. But that's just a little bit about what I've been doing and what I'm planning to do next. So yeah, if you've got any questions or any you want to discuss anything, please come and talk to me. I'd love to share more because there's so many pictures and so many stories I could tell, but I don't have enough time. So, but if you'd love to come and talk to me, that would be really great. I'd love to talk to you. So, yeah, thank you.
So it's great, isn't it, to be connected across the world and to hear your experiences, Lydia, as well. And just to think about what it means to be part of a global network of friends. And we're just going to pause for a moment before we move into communion. We're just going to pray for a moment, just bringing some of these thoughts together, and then we'll move into communion. So before we start, I just want you to just now think about a friend that's come into your mind for whatever reason. Just hold them in your mind. There might be someone that is having a hard time, or someone that you think, oh, I need to connect with them again. Just hold them in your head, and we're just going to offer that friend now to God. Lord Jesus, thank you that you demonstrated what it means to be a good friend. Thank you for your wide range of friends that you had, and we ask that you might help us to be good friends. We lift up to you now the person that we're holding in our heart to you. May your will be done in their life. We lift up to you our friends who are not yet followers of Jesus now as well. You might want to think about someone. Help us to be good friends. Help us to be committed to pray for them. And Lord Jesus, we now just think of someone nationally, a friend nationally or a friend globally. We lift them to you. We just ask for your presence and your blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to sing as we move into communion now.